Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, our mission is, well, a pretty focused analysis. We're looking at a specific professional profile, a real high flyer. We've pulled together quite a stack of sources, CVs, technical white papers, research docs, really trying to understand what makes a modern, highly specialized AI leader tick. And the core identity that jumps out is this, an AI strategy leader with deep expertise in distributed communication protocols, applied AI research, and enterprise infrastructure. Mm-hmm. We're not just looking for a generalist here. We need to pinpoint that, you know, rare mix of skills that makes someone uniquely able to tackle these really complex, high-stakes digital challenges.
Absolutely. And what really defines this profile, I think, is the convergence. It's where two fields meet that you just don't often see intersecting at this kind of depth. You've got this masterful blend of, let's call it deep, historical, resilience, think military-grade network engineering, zero-trust security, defense infrastructure going back decades. And that's combined, almost seamlessly, with really cutting-edge generative AI research and strategy. So this individual isn't just, you know, reacting to the AI revolution. They're actively building the rails it runs on, and crucially, making sure those rails are secure against really serious mission-critical threats. That convergence, that's the key. It's what allows for the design of truly, as the source says, scalable, secure, and ethically grounded AI ecosystems. They're bridging that gap between robust legacy systems and the generative future.
Okay, let's unpack this then. Let's jump straight into that cutting edge. Where does this expertise actually, you know, show up in demonstrable results? Proprietary stuff. What are the real aha moments we found in the projects described?
Well, the biggest one I'd say revolves around protocol innovation. This profile is actively working on defining the fundamental communication rules for the next wave of intelligent systems. They developed something called the Intent-Based Interagent Communication Protocol, or IICP. Its original code name was SynapEse.
SynapEse, okay. Now, protocol sounds kind of traditional, right? Like TCP/IP, but the description we have suggests something, well, revolutionary. What's the big vision for ICP?
Oh, the vision is huge. It's aiming to build the HTTP for the age of generative AI. Think about that. Instead of just routing data packets between devices like HTTP does, ICP is designed to write intent and goals. The idea is to create a liberated internet of AI, an IOA, where AI agents can share capabilities, negotiate tasks, collaborate on complex workflows, things like enterprise tasks, educational support, even crisis response coordination. That is fascinating. Genuinely foundational stuff. But, you know, historically, new protocols face massive hurdles, right? Institutional inertia, politics. Getting widespread adoption is tough. What evidence do the documents actually show that suggests ICP has the technical or institutional heft needed to actually become a standard for this IOA?
That's a fair question. The evidence seems to lie in its operational success so far and the scope of its design. It's built specifically for complex, distributed scenarios. And critically, it integrates proprietary security mechanisms right from the start, which is a huge draw for enterprise adoption. They're tackling adoption not just with elegance, but with, let's say, necessary security guarantees baked in.
Okay. Security is a driver. Let's pivot then to applied research, where we saw some really measurable success, especially in high-stakes areas like medicine.
Right, and this is where the numbers get really concrete. We have documented academic work using transfer learning for capsule endoscopy, you know, those tiny pill cameras, for image analysis. And the results aren't just theoretical. They actually achieved a, well, frankly, stunning 40% reduction in training time. 40%. And at the same time, they improved diagnostic precision using advanced techniques like vision transformers or VITs.
Capsule endoscopy. That's medical imaging. That regulatory environment is notoriously tough. How did they handle compliance? Can you walk us through the mechanism? Like, how does using federated learning specifically help with GDPR and IPA compliance? Doesn't it just complicate the data flow?
Good point. But federated learning is actually the answer here, not the problem. Because it trains the models where the data already lives. It means the sensitive patient data never has to leave the hospital's secure environment or the compliance zone. You keep the raw data decentralized. Only the learned weights or model updates are shared, not the data itself. So you explicitly satisfy data residency and privacy rules like GDPR and FISWAIA. The whole methodology ensures the tech innovation is, you know, tightly bound to the ethical and regulatory demands. That includes the really strict EU MDR standards for medical devices.
It sounds like standard off-the-shelf AI models just wouldn't cut it for the kind of work this profile does, which I guess explains why we see this whole suite of specialized custom GPT frameworks they've designed for specific enterprise and public sector uses.
It's exactly right. It shows a clear understanding that for strategic high stakes analysis, especially in security,
You simply cannot rely on, say, consumer-grade large language models. So they created specialized tools. There's CLIP, the Comprehensive Leadership Assessment Prompt for Evaluating Enterprise Leadership. Then ProGuard, which stands for Propaganda Resilience, that's designed to identify complex disinformation and geopolitical influence campaigns. Very relevant today. And Sherlock GPT, which is for investigating really complex patterns of misconduct. These aren't general tools. They're deep-focused, mission-critical analytical instruments. So yeah, we're talking about building the future internet for AI agents and creating these highly precise proprietary analysis tools. But you know, before we get lost in the future, we really need to talk about the foundation. Because to truly secure something new, you absolutely have to master the history of network resilience. All this cutting-edge AI work is only possible because it's a remarkably deep technical bedrock in defense, security, and infrastructure. That's where this profile really stands apart, I think.
Okay, tell us about that foundation then. The background seems heavily rooted in defense infrastructure, specifically with the German armed forces, the Bundeswehr, right?
Correct. The core competence goes way back, traditional network administration.
Right.
Routing, switching, firewalls, load balancing, starting in the late 1990s. And we're talking true architectural mastery here. Managing massive mission-critical systems.
Mm-hmm.
The documents mention migrating and running over 3,000 terabytes of storage pools and handling network infrastructure for Federal Defense Force projects across four different data centers. That kind of scale, it demands deep, hands-on operational knowledge, not just theory.
And it wasn't just system administration, was it? It looks like operational defense leadership, too, often under pressure.
Absolutely. The leadership roles definitely stand out. Manager cybersecurity at KPMG, for instance. There, the focus was integrating next-gen zero-trust architecture into cyber defense strategies. And this was for high-profile public sector and defense clients, so high stakes. Even further back, directing the implementation of the actual cyber defense command infrastructure for the Bundeswehr. That's a major undertaking.
Yeah.
And just to put the real-world pressure into context, there's mention of a field deployment back in 2001 to Uzbekistan, the task. Established an encrypted satellite-based connection for German troops operating in the region. That's real infrastructure delivery under, well, extreme conditions.
Mm. That really sets the stage perfectly for what might be the most, let's say, jaw-dropping technical concept we found in the materials. This framework designed specifically for securing optical transport networks.
You must be referring to the three-letter, two-layer Pooner.
Oh.
Or 3L2LP. Quite a name. It's an optical security concept, yes. Designed to secure high-capacity optical transport, specifically DWDM networks, dense wavelength division multiplexing against the most sophisticated threats out there.
Hold on, Pooner. Well, it's certainly an aggressive, confident name for a defense framework. The paper talks about advanced adversaries. Can you clarify what kind of threat 3L2LP is explicitly designed to counter? Are we talking organized crime or something else?
Something else entirely. We're talking highly specialized. The white paper explicitly calls out threats from intelligence agency surveillance SIGINT and passive fiber optic tapping. The whole point of 3L2LP is to flip the script, to reverse the vulnerability. It actually exploits known weaknesses in layer one, the physical fiber, and layer two, the data link layer of optical networks to make that kind of surveillance ineffective.
Okay, exploiting the weaknesses. So what are the key dynamic defenses it uses to, well, pen these traditional surveillance techniques?
Right, there are two core mechanisms described. First is something called dynamic wavelength rotation, or a DWDM hopping. Basically, signals don't just sit on one static wavelength that someone can easily tap and monitor. Instead, they continuously and randomly shift frequencies across the whole DWDM spectrum. That makes passive listening and trying to correlate traffic virtually impossible. Second, they introduce zero-trust VLAN to wavelength mapping. This essentially maps each security zone, like a VLAN, to its own dedicated rotating optical wavelength. So you get both physical and logical isolation built right into the deepest layer of the network. It's deception and isolation working together within the transport infrastructure itself.
And what seems crucial here, reading between the lines, is that they're thinking about securing against threats that maybe haven't even fully matured yet.
Precisely. That's the strategic foresight element. The 3L2LP framework is explicitly designed to be post-quantum cryptography resistant, PQC resistant. They're building a foundational security layer that's already preparing for the day when quantum computers might render today's encryption obsolete. This is security architecture defined by tomorrow's challenges, not just today's.
Okay, let's tie this all together now. We've established this extreme depth in both advanced AI and military-grade security. So bringing it back to the learner, as you put it, what does this profile offer in terms of, say, analytical scope and strategic leadership value?
Well, you can see the sheer scope of the interdisciplinary analysis when you look at some of the research work mentioned.
Hmm.
For example, using generative AI, specifically Claude 2 and ChatGPT-4, to create a comparative performance analysis and even a success prognosis of EU council presidencies, looking back from 1958 all the way forward to 2033. Now, that demonstrates an ability to apply these bleeding-edge AI tools to really complex geopolitical and public sector consulting challenges. It connects the tech directly to macro strategy.
And the sources also paint a pretty clear picture of how this individual works, right? The kind of professional methodology needed for these demanding environments.
Oh, absolutely. The methodology required for these kinds of mission-critical defense and enterprise projects, it demands a very specific working style. You see words like structured, analytical, characterized by high endurance and responsibility, clear communication, and a strategic vision for really large-scale digital transformations. These aren't just buzzwords. They seem like attributes forged under significant pressure.
It's still hard to imagine the context switching involved, though. One day you're managing, 3,000 terabytes of storage in a defense data center, the next you're leading AI strategy. Does the source material give any hint about how that sheer breadth of experience might impact decision-making, especially outside pure IT?
It does, actually. And this is where maybe a bit of a wildcard experience comes into play. There's mention of a parallel directorship for several years in a family-owned hospitality business in Tanzania and Zanzibar. Now, that proves resilience and operational adaptability completely outside the tech sphere. This wasn't just passive involvement. It involved hands-on expertise in financial oversight, including securing a significant $1.4 million facility, managing daily operations, adapting to completely different cultural and business environments. It suggests an understanding of things like P&L, supply chains, operational continuity, stuff that pure technologists often don't get exposed to, adds another dimension.
Okay, so bringing it all home, what's the core organizational value proposition that this unique blend delivers? What problem do they solve?
Look, the core value was clearly problem solving under the absolute highest stakes. This profile connects deep, almost military-grade security expertise with that bleeding-edge AI architecture. And the unique value, it's ensuring that innovation like developing new AI protocols aligns seamlessly, perfectly, with the most stringent mission-critical regulatory compliance needs, whether that's defense security mandates or global health regulations like GDPR, IPA, or the EU MDR. They bridge innovation and compliance.
So based on this whole synthesis, all these sources,
yeah,
where is this kind of expertise best placed in today's market? What kind of roles?
Well, the skill set is perfectly positioned, really, for roles that demand both that high-level strategic vision and deep technical architecture chops. We're talking senior consultant AI roles, definitely lead architect positions, maybe technical advisor functions, or even director of AI strategy. Basically, roles where setting the technical direction and ensuring rock-solid security integrity have to be weighted absolutely equally. So yeah, the main takeaway here is that this expertise represents a really rare convergence. You have a master of foundational mission-critical infrastructure who is at the same time defining the next generation of secure distributed AI protocols. It's that deep foundational knowledge that actually provides the innovative edge needed to build truly resilient futures.
Which leaves us with maybe a final thought for you to mull over. The same individual who is helping define future protocols for a liberated internet of AI, something inherently open and distributed, is also the person who created an optical defense system explicitly designed to evade surveillance by three-letter agencies, something inherently closed and defensive. So what is that collision, that inherent tension between open, decentralized AI infrastructure and closed defense-grade security? What does that mean for the future trustworthiness of our global AI systems? Something to think about.